For listeners who are wondering, who's this new voice on my radio? Could you please introduce yourself?
Hi there. I am Kelly McEvers, and I am one of the hosts of All Things Considered. I was based here in California at NPR West as a correspondent. I was covering all kinds of things. I was doing some reporting on the U.S.-Mexico border. I actually was part of a team that went to cover the Ebola outbreak in Liberia. I was doing some stories and reporting about income inequality here in the West and in other parts of the U.S. And before that, I was based in the Middle East. I was a Middle East correspondent for NPR, based in Beirut, Baghdad, and other places.
In a radio documentary about some of your previous work covering conflict zones, you kept asking yourself why you did that job. What was the answer to that question?
Yeah. It took an hour for me to try to answer that question in that radio documentary, and I'm not sure I ever really got to it. But, you know, some of the answers I came up with were, first and foremost, it's really important work, you know, going and being our eyes and ears on the ground during some of these conflicts that our country is either directly or indirectly involved in is really important. I mean, when our elected officials are making decisions about what to do with our, you know, our servicemen and women, for instance, or where to put our planes and other military assets in the region, or just whether to engage in a conflict or not as diplomats and or as a military. That kind of on-the-ground reporting is crucial. You know, a lot of times the American government didn't have the same kind of assets that we did on the ground.
Wow.
And so talking to people, especially in Syria in particular, you know, that conflict was a really difficult conflict. And we made the decision for a while before it got to be too dangerous that we needed to go in. You know, we needed to cross the Turkish border kind of surreptitiously and get in and talk to Syrians about what was actually happening in their country. So that was one reason, right? It's because it's important. Mm-hmm. But there's other reasons why you do work like that, right? It's kind of exciting. And that's something people don't always like to talk about, but it is. You know, it's exciting to go and be sort of running around with people that you've never met before and people who drive around in trucks and carry guns. It's exciting for some people to do that. Maybe it's not exciting for everyone to do that. So that was part of it. And, you know, it's also it's kind of a way to earn your stripes as a journalist. I think if you know you can do that, you kind of figure you can do anything. Although, having been back in the U.S. now for a couple of years, I'm constantly surprised by all the different stories there are to tell. But yeah, so I mean, I think it's a lot of things.
Can you think of a particular story, either abroad or here at home, when you really thought, this is something listeners need to know?
I mean, I think every story. I mean, I kind of think I wouldn't do it if I didn't think people needed to know about it. Maybe there's some hubris in that. But you know, I think, I recently was reporting on the HIV outbreak in rural Indiana, and that's something people need to know and understand about. There's the headlines on the one side, but then there's kind of getting in and getting a little deeper and trying to figure out the causes for this stuff. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we do. You know, we're not just like a ticker tape of, you know, breaking news headlines. We get there and we talk to people and we listen to people. So I think all the stories we do are important. I know that sounds hokey, but I actually believe it.
How do you use your past experience in the field to enhance your current work in the studio as one of NPR's new All Things Considered hosts?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's a different kind of job, right? I'm not like wearing, you know, my hiking boots and my like bulletproof vest here in the studio. Like, I'm wearing my biking clothes right now, actually, because I cycle to work. But no, I mean, it's a different job in some ways, but in other ways, it's the same, right? We're talking to people, we're listening to people, we're trying to make those conversations important, not just to us, but important to everybody who's listening. But it's you know, when you're in the studio, right, it's different. You're not looking them in the eye sometimes. We're talking to somebody. I'm in the studio in California and they're in a studio in Philadelphia, you know. And so I think it's just making it very clear from the beginning that that you're listening, that you're actually really listening to what they have to say. And I think that goes a long way. I think everybody's got a story to tell. You know, people are always like, how do you get people to talk to you? I'm like, that's not hard. Everybody wants to talk. Everybody has a story to tell. They just have to know that you're really listening.
This interview is supposed to air during the WABE pledge drive. How does it benefit correspondents in conflict zones when listeners support that work?
Immensely. I mean, we literally could not do what we do without the support of our listeners. I mean, it's, you know, that bulletproof vest that I wear that protects me in the field from all the nasty things that are flying through the air. I mean, that's because someone decided to support us and say that, you know, the safety of the international correspondents is important. But also, you know, I mean, the guy who's going to drive us over the border, you know, that guy, we pay him maybe something like $100 a day to do that. I mean, this guy's literally risking his life to help us, you know, make sure that we're taking the right road and that we're not, like, you know, going through the wrong checkpoint, that we're not saying the wrong thing. I mean, he's from there. He knows. You know, that $100 to pay that guy, like, we literally could not do our job without that.
Oh. What is the team that would be on the ground with you? Do you have an engineer or producer?
Some people do. A lot of the times I didn't, just because you want to be nimble. Definitely there would be an interpreter, somebody who, you know, not just knows, it's not just about language, right? They're interpreting the culture. I worked often with a Syrian colleague, for instance, when we were going into Syria. And, you know, she's not just telling me what people are saying, but she's like, you know, the reason they're sort of nodding their head this way is because what they really mean is this. You know what I mean? And it's really crucial to have someone who gets the culture. And then, of course, yeah, there's usually like the driver, the guy. It's always you got to have a guy. That's what I say. You got to have a guy. And that guy is, you know, he's not just behind the wheel, but again, he knows what road is sketchy, what road isn't. You know, again, he knows how to talk to the guys at the checkpoint and how to sweet talk people into this neighborhood or that neighborhood. So it's usually a team of about three. When we were going into Syria, into active combat zones, we also took a security advisor with us. We have an arrangement with security advisors, and we hire them to accompany us. It's somewhere between a bodyguard and a medic and an expert tracker. Oh. You know, if you get in a really nasty situation, they can get you out. They know how to use a GPS. Like, say you're trapped in a forest and your driver takes off or gets killed or who knows what. Like, he can figure out how to get you back to the border, things that you can't think about because you're too busy holding a microphone. But he also knows, yeah, he knows first aid. These are like usually ex-British commandos who know their stuff. So that's a really important person to have along, too.
And now that you're back in the U.S., can you kind of answer that same question? How do listener donations support NPR's work here at home?
Yeah, I mean, it's from everything from just being able to, I mean, look, we don't live large. You know, we're in public radio. We're not like staying at the Ritz, you know, interviewing like, you know, fancy people. We're out in the world. I'm staying at like a Hampton Inn, you know, in Waco, Texas or whatever. But, you know, that costs some money. It costs, you know, $75 a night to stay at that Hampton Inn. You know, at the end of a 15-hour day of reporting, you got to grab something to eat. You know, the little expenses that we need to actually do our job, that's where that listener support goes. It goes directly to the work that we're doing on the ground. You know, being able to just say to somebody who you're interviewing, let me buy you a cup of coffee. You know, let's sit down and talk about this. Explain this policy to me. You know what I mean? Just like being able to, just that little gesture, you know, of, so when you're on the ground and doing that reporting, whether you're in Waco, Texas or, you know, northern Iraq, it means a lot to the people you're reporting on.
And finally, if you were in our studio right now pitching for the fund drive, what would you say to persuade people to be members of WABE?
You can't get storytelling like this anywhere else. You just can't. Like, there's just no other news organization that's going to bring you the voices of the people who are at the heart of the news. That is what we do, and we can't do without you.
Oh, thanks for your time for the interview, and thank you for your work. I'm a big fan.
Thanks.